to the Lord.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, the Bible says, in everything, give thanks unto God, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You have your Bible open to Luke. We're going to be turning to a secondary passage of Scripture in just a moment. In these days that we are in, since the last 3 weeks, we've been looking at the prayer life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a prayer life it was, and even is today. Jesus has not ceased to pray. He's just changed his prayer ministry, and now it's gone into full intercessory prayer as he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. There is an occasion that I want to look at here this morning on our prayer lives. Prayer is very essential to the Christian life. As a matter of fact, it's really our lifeblood as a Christian. We don't really get any further than our prayer life will carry us in this Christian journey. How's your prayer life? You know, I've said it before, if Jesus, who was 100% God and 100% man, if Jesus prayed, surely I need to pray. You need to pray. The devil will do everything he can to keep you from praying. The devil will do everything he can to keep me from praying. The devil doesn't want to pray in church. He doesn't want us to pray. But the devil doesn't always get what he wants. We need to be concerned more about God's will than the devil's desires. More about God's will than even our own will. And as we study the prayer life of the Lord Jesus, we now come to a time of instruction where the Lord Jesus says, I want to teach you to pray. I find it interesting in this passage of Scripture, as Pastor David read in your hearing, it says in the latter part of verse number 1 that one of his disciples said unto him, look at it there, Lord, teach us to, and you know, I would just about, if I didn't already know what the next word was, I would probably fill it in with several other things before this one. You would have thought the disciples would have said, teach us to teach the way you teach. And your teaching is with authority. Your teaching captivates people. Your teaching impacts people. Or perhaps they would have said, teach us to cast out devils the way you cast out devils. We live in an era, a society that is demon-possessed. And these disciples were in a society as that, and they saw the Lord Jesus cast out devils, and no doubt they were thinking, you know, we want that kind of power. And Jesus gave them that kind of power. But when it came time to request, they did not say, Lord, teach us to cast out devils. Lord, teach us to teach as you teach. Teach us to sing good, or teach us to use our abilities, or teach us to do mighty wonders, and teach us to heal people. How about that one?
Amen.
You know, a lot of sickness and a lot of physical needs. But they did not say that. Because after watching the Lord Jesus pray, they understood what the primary need of every believer is. You see, if we get this one right, everything begins to fall into place in the Christian experience. But you miss this one, it's going to be a rocky road. Because without a prayer life, you're going to be operating in the energy of the flesh. Without a prayer life, I'm going to be doing more of my will than His will. Without a prayer life, I'm going to be more concerned about getting earth's will done in heaven instead of heaven's will done on earth. And so what the disciples said was, Lord, teach us to pray. If you'll notice again in verse number 1, it says, it came to pass he was praying. And so they stood by. I don't know how long they stood by. I don't know how long the disciples were there. I do know this. There are several places in the New Testament, in the Scripture in particular, in the Gospel accounts, where Jesus was praying and the disciples were nearby. They heard him pray. There are other times where they did not necessarily hear him pray, but they knew that he had taken himself in a place of solitude to pray. Sometimes all night long he would spend in prayer. And the scripture says here in verse number 1 of chapter 11, when he ceased, they said, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. We want to pray like that. Now, what was that? What was Jesus praying? I don't know. He may have been praying for the task at hand. He may have been praying for some things that were coming up. He may have been praying for his disciples. I don't know all that he was praying at that particular moment, but I do know this. Whatever it was, it so captivated the attention of these disciples that, and all the other times they heard him pray, they watched his prayer life, they said, we want to learn how to pray like that. And they said this, they said, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Now, they're not asking teach us to pray like John taught his disciples. We don't want to pray like John taught his disciples. But you know how John taught his disciples? You teach us. That's what they're asking. See, they're not asking, Lord, teach us to pray the way John's disciples pray because John taught them how to pray. Now, this tells me a lot of things about prayer, and I want you to listen carefully. If you'll listen carefully and if we'll apply this scriptural truth to our life, it'll change your life. I believe it changed the disciples' lives. I think as we move through this, we'll see where the disciples made a turn right here. Now, we're going to go back just for a moment in chapter number 6 of Matthew, so you can go back there and then we'll come back here. Jesus had taught in the Sermon on the Mount, he had taught this manner of praying. There's a couple of things before I get into depth in what I want to teach you this morning. I want you to understand something. They did not say, teach us a prayer. And so what they're not asking, you know, give us something that we can recite. Give us something that we can just, you know, in a moment of need that we can memorize it and we can say it and it's going to bring down heaven's favor. That's not what they requested. They didn't say, teach us a prayer. They said, teach us to pray. Amen? Is that right? Amen. They did not even ask, teach us, listen to me now, how to pray. Or teach us about prayer. They didn't say, hey, teach us about prayer. What benefit is there in prayer? Teach us. Teach us the benefits of prayer. They didn't ask that. They said, teach us how. When we pray, what should be our focus in prayer? That's what they're asking. Can I ask you what your focus in prayer is? When you pray, did you pray this morning? Did you pray yesterday? This week, if we were to tally up the amount of time we spend in prayer, I'm not trying to shame you now. I do want us to be real, however, with ourselves. I want us to be open and honest before the Lord. Has there ever been a time in my life, in your life, I'll answer, but I don't want you to answer. There has been more than one time that I asked the Lord to teach me to pray. You know why? Because I don't know how to pray as I ought sometimes. The Bible actually teaches me that. We know not what to pray for as we ought. I'm glad that God has given us a helper. The Holy Spirit of God is our helper. He helpeth in our infirmities. And believe me, brethren, when we need to pray and we don't know how to pray or how to approach God or in what manner to go to him, I sure am glad that the Holy Spirit of God is our helper in prayer, aren't you? That's Romans 8:26. I hope you write that verse of scripture down and that you'll depend upon him to help you in your prayer life. We need God to help us. Why? Because Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And I believe him. Now, if we go back to Matthew chapter 6, I find it interesting, and It unlocks some things. And I'm not going to get in detail in what we call the Lord's Prayer. It's really the model prayer. And I want us to see some things that Jesus wants us to learn about prayer. And there's no way I can be exhaustive in this. Number one, I don't possess that ability. But number two, it's not my intent this morning. But it is my intent to help us to see what God wants us to be interested in when we pray. Because what we're interested in when we pray will greatly determine how much we pray. It will also greatly determine how our prayers are answered. If our prayers are selfish and self-centered, in our will and not in God's will, very little of our praying will be answered, and therefore we will cease to pray because we become discouraged with unanswered prayer. But when we pray in God's will, when we pray in accordance to His will, we can have this confidence, John said in 1 John, that He heareth us, and He will hear and answer the prayers of His people. Here in Matthew chapter 6, are you there? Look at verse number 5. Jesus, teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, said this, "And when thou prayest," now He didn't say if thou prayest, because Jesus knows, if you're saved, if you're a child of God, you're going to pray. You're going to pray. It's just what Christians do. Now, we need God's help in this matter, more so than any other matter, I believe, in the Christian experience. And He said, "And when you pray, thou shalt be not as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." And so He said, don't be that way. Don't pray to try to get attention, and don't pray to be seen and to be heard and to be complimented on your beautiful way of approaching and the way you line it up. He said, don't do that. Then look, if you would, in verse number 6. "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." He says, you know what, if you'll pray the way I'm getting ready to tell you to pray, now listen to me, there's going to be some open reward for you. You do not have to live the frustrated, unanswered prayer life. But now you're going to have to do it the way I tell you. Look at verse number 8. "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do." And I think this is very important to what we're getting ready to look into. Look at verse 7. He said, "For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." Sometimes people say, I prayed an hour. Well, you know what? Sometimes we need to pray an hour. There was a time when Jesus said, "Could not ye even watch and pray 1 hour with me?" In the Garden of Gethsemane. But please don't think that if you just pray like for 30 seconds or for 2 minutes or for 5 minutes or for 10 minutes that's not getting God's attention, that's not reaching heaven. There's sometimes, brethren, the only thing that we can do is just make utterances. We can make groanings. There's times in the Old Testament where people just prayed, "Oh, God." I mean, that's all they could get out. "Oh, God, I need you, God. I don't know what to do. God, come on the scene," you see. Yeah. And there'll be times like that in your life, in my life. There already have been, most probably. And so I don't want us to think, well, you know what, there's this like pattern that we ought to follow every time. And that's what Jesus is warning against. He said, "Before I give you this manner," and we'll see that in just a moment. He used that word. He said, "I want to just tell you what to avoid. Avoid this. Don't think you're going to be heard for your much speaking. Don't make prayer to men," is basically what he's saying. Don't be praying to people. You pray to God. Amen. Don't you pray to impress men. Don't you pray to sound spiritual. You go to God humbly and you tell God what your need is, and you believe God when you pray. And when we pray that way, brethren, I'm here to tell you, heaven's windows will open and God will show up. Amen. And do some things. He said in verse number 8, he said, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him." Isn't that something? You know, I was teaching in Sunday school this morning, And I want to just say a word here, and then we'll move on and get into the depth of this prayer. One of the things that we need to understand is in God's economy, and I want you to listen to this, I believe it'll change the way we approach heaven. In God's economy, the supply precedes the need. The supply precedes the need. I was telling our Sunday school class that this thing of on-demand has become popular. Can I tell you, God doesn't manufacture answers to prayer at the time you pray them. Peter said that God hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's already given them. You just need to tap into them. I just need to tap into them. Remember when Abraham was on Mount Moriah with Isaac? God had already provided the need. The supply was already there. God had already had that ram to be born and brought to the exact place it needed to be in the time of need. Amen. See, God's supply precedes the need. It just does. And I'm thankful that it does. Yeah. Jesus is teaching that. Look at what he said again in verse number 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. Amen. And then he said this, after this manner, what's that next word, church? Therefore. In other words, this is why I want you to pray this way and not that way. Because of what I've just said, don't be praying to be seen or heard of men. Amen. There is a tendency to want that. Yes. Yes. There is a tendency to think that we have to spell everything out to God and just pray these long poetic prayers or else they won't reach heaven. That's just not so. There's a tendency to think that, well, you know, I've got to let God know everything. God already knows everything. He doesn't need my help. So what is he saying? He said, I want you to pray this way. Look at verse number 6, or 9, I'm sorry. After this manner, very important word. He said, I want to give you a model. I want to give you a model to follow. And then he begins to give what we coin the Lord's Prayer. Now, it's not actually the Lord's Prayer, it's the disciples' prayer, really, because they're the ones who ask him again later to teach us to pray. And he said, okay, this is what I want you to pray. And so he said, I want you to pray our Father. Right? This is a model. And so when we look into this prayer, it's very interesting to me that there's some instruction here. Jesus is instructing us on how to pray. How do you pray? How do you pray? So I don't need Jesus to teach me to pray. I think you do. Say, preacher, you've been preaching for 35 years, 36, 37. You don't need Jesus to teach you to pray. I think I do. I think we all need Jesus to teach us to pray. We don't know how to pray. We don't even know what to pray for. We need, listen, prayer is a heavenly thing. Prayer is a spiritual thing. We're a fleshly thing. We're an earthly commodity. We need heaven to get involved and teach us how to get in contact with heaven. And so Jesus said, now here's what I want you to do. When you pray, I want you to have this spirit about you. And I want you to think about this. You know this prayer. Some of you, I could ask you, stand up and recite this prayer. And you could do it. I like the way he started. Our Father. Aren't you glad that Jesus taught us to say our Father? See, this is important to prayer. You've got to understand who you're praying to. It's not some cosmic God of the universe. It's not some the Force, as in Star Wars. It's not. It's not some supreme energy out there. He said, no, when you pray our Father. You understand you're in the family. You understand that you're a part of the greatest family in heaven and earth. You understand who you're going to. There's not a father in here that doesn't want to meet the needs of his children. There's not a father in here that doesn't want to hear the needs and meet the needs of his children. He says, so when you pray, you understand who you're praying to. You're praying to the Father God of heaven. He says, so when you pray our Father. Now, he said, I want you to maintain the spirit. He said, I want you to maintain the spirit, the family spirit. I'm glad that when we pray, listen, when someone, if I were to call someone up here to pray, they wouldn't say my father. I wouldn't be offended if you did. When I pray on behalf of our church, I don't say my father. I say our father. I'm glad that we're part of the family. If you're saved in the grace of God, if you've been born again, you're part of the family of God. And so when I pray, I can pray on our behalf. And Jesus is teaching us this. He said, number one, you keep God in mind when you pray, but you keep others in mind too. Don't you pray just my Father. Now, there's nothing wrong with my Father, but predominantly, we need to be praying our Father. Because we all share some needs. We all have some needs. We have prayer that we need to be answered. And he said, when you come to God, yes, you come individually, but you can come in behalf of others. Amen. And don't you forget who you're coming to. You're coming to our Father. He said, so you have that family spirit. Then notice what he said. He said, hallowed be thy name. The word hallowed means separate. It means holy. It means sanctified. It means exalted. And he said, this ought to be your first concern, that in all of your requests, in all of God's workings in your life, you want God to be exalted. Can I ask you something about your prayer life as I've had to really search my heart about my prayer life? Is my prayers concerned that God is exalted? If they're not, I'm not praying right. Because Jesus, when the disciples said, teach us to pray, the very first thing he said, now he said, you need to be concerned about God's name being hallowed. Is that what he said, church? Look at it one more time here in chapter number 6. He said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I want your name to be magnified through my request. Lord, I'm concerned about your name. More than my need, I'm concerned about your name. Amen. Do you see what's being taught here? See, it may be the reason a lot of prayers are not reaching heaven. It may be the reason a lot of people are going with unanswered prayers or no to their prayer. I don't know. I'm just saying. When Jesus teaches us to pray, it's a little different than what we're hearing today. And so he said, hallowed be thy name. He said, so not only should you have a family spirit, you should have a reverential spirit when you pray. You don't just flippantly go into God's presence and just read out your list like a Christmas list. You say, preacher, it's kind of hard. Well, now, I don't mean for it to be, but I'm just telling you what Jesus said. Because I believe that you want your prayers answered. There's a lot of folks in here that have needs. As a matter of fact, everybody in here has needs. We have needs, brethren. And those needs can only be met by heaven. We just don't possess what it takes. And so he said, when you pray, pray with a family spirit, our Father. Pray, he said, with a reverential spirit. Hallowed be thy name. Pray with a loyal spirit. Look, thy kingdom come. God, I want your kingdom to come. Your kingdom. I want that over this world. Right? Yes. Pray, he said, with a submissive spirit. Look at it. Thy will be done. A submissive spirit. I think it was Jeremy in our Sunday school class. I like what he said. I was asking, why don't we pray no more than we do? And he said, well, because we don't feel adequate. And then someone else said, well, because it may be that we don't want the answer that we're going to get. You see, when we can pray our will, we want the answer. But I wonder if you want the answer when you pray, thy will be done. Are you afraid of God's will? See, a wrong understanding of the will of God can make us afraid of the things that we need in our life. And Jesus said, I want to teach you something I want to teach you that when you pray correctly, you don't have to be afraid of God's will, because God's will is the very best for your life. Every Christian in here ought to say, amen, preacher, amen. God has my best interest in mind. God has what's best for me. My best version, my best life is God's will, not my will. I've said it many times. I'm going to say it one more time. Listen, the very worst that I'll ever be is when I'm accomplishing my will. And the very best I'll ever be is when I'm doing God's will. And so we need to pray with a submissive will. We need to pray with a dependent spirit. Give us this day. Many times we'll thank God for the food we have, but we didn't even ask him for it. I think some people think that this petition here, look at it one more time now, this petition, are you with me in verse number 11? Give us this day our daily bread. That's a dependent spirit. He's not saying, now be sure to bless your food when you get it. He said, no, you ask for it. You show a dependence and ask for your daily bread. I was talking to some of the family yesterday, and two or three of them said, you know, and I asked, how are you doing? They said, well, we're taking it one day at a time. Can I tell you, that's the way God wants us all to live our lives? As thy day, so shall thy strength be. Give us this day. This day. Why? Because this is the time that we have. We're not promised anything else. No man knoweth what tomorrow may bring. Right, brethren? Amen. And so we need that dependent spirit. When we don't have that dependent spirit in prayer, it puffs us up. We get proud. We won't humble ourselves. And we think, you know what? We have all the answers. We're meeting all the needs. We're doing it all. No, God's doing it all, brethren. God's doing it all. No wonder we live in a society that is unthankful and ungrateful. God, forgive us for being ungrateful and unthankful. Give us this day a dependent spirit. Forgive us. Look at it. Forgive us in verse number 11. Our debts as we forgive our debtors. A confessing spirit, and even a forgiving spirit. Hey, can I tell you, if you're here, under the sound of my voice, or if you're watching by live stream this morning, and you have all in your heart, your prayers are bouncing off the walls. Notice, if you would, in verse number 14 of chapter 6 of Matthew, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Amen. So a preacher, that doesn't bother me. Unanswered prayer is going to bother you. And it's going to catch up with you. And I'm trying to help you now. See, medicine is strong sometimes, but it's needful. You say, well, can't you add just a spoonful of sugar to make the medicine go down? Well, listen, God knows my heart. I'm preaching with love in my heart for you. I love you. I want God's very best for your life. I want you to have answered prayers. I want to have answered prayers. I want Fellowship Baptist Church to continue to be a praying church. I want us to continue to unlock the windows of heaven. We need heaven's touch on this ministry. You have needs in your life. I have needs in my life. Our families need us to have answered prayer, brethren. And Jesus is saying, let me teach you how you can get your prayers answered. Let me teach you how you can get in touch with heaven. Let me teach you how you can get God's attention when you come with that family spirit and say, oh, our Father, here I am. God, I'm your child, and you're my Father. I need you. And when you say, Lord, I want you to hallow your name. I'm concerned about your name more than I am my needs. I want to come with a reverential spirit, a loyal spirit. I'm concerned about your kingdom, a submissive spirit, because I want your will to be done. A dependent spirit, give us this day. A confessing and a forgiving spirit, forgive us as we forgive. See, these are things that we as Christians just take for granted, and if we're not careful, we'll be living our life with a lot of sin in it because we're not following this pattern of prayer. Isn't it a shame that we've gotten to the place in our lives that where we think that the sin of the day is drinking booze? Listen, you ought not drink booze. Amen. Amen. Yeah. You ought not do drugs. You ought not lie, cheat, steal. But what about envy? What about jealousy? What about an unforgiving spirit? What about when someone just mentions someone's name and you just get all riled on the inside and you just wish harm on that person and you just want to get even? Let me tell you something now. I'm trying to help somebody here this morning. Your prayers are not being answered. They're not being answered. Not because this preacher said so, but because our Savior said so. I'm going to read it to you one more time. We're going to move on. I find it a little hard to move on. Maybe there's some people sitting under the sound of my voice. Listen, I've harbored ill will toward people before. It's a miserable feeling. All the while trying to justify my reason. There is no justification for harboring ill will in your heart toward another. The Bible says right here in verse number 14, it can't get any clearer than this, brethren. Can't get any clearer than this. If ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Can't get any more clear than that. And all God's people say it, whether you say it through clenched teeth or not. Amen. Yeah. See, God expects us to do what He says. God's not going to make exceptions on His word, brethren. And God said, Jesus said, I want to teach you to pray. You've got to get concerned about more than what you need in life. Why? He said, as you go back again, let's revisit it back in verse number 8. Your Father knoweth what things you have need of. Does that mean that I shouldn't ask Him? No, He didn't say that. He just said, when you pray, don't let that be the primary reason you're praying. Pray to get in communion with God. Pray to know God better. Amen. Prayer is communication. It's communion. And He says, so when you pray, go to Him and say, God, I'm concerned about Your name. Let me close with this. There's a lot more here. And we're going to be here for a couple of weeks. But I want to show you something I hope will be a blessing to you. Jesus said, there's six primary things that you need to be concerned about when you pray. Six. You see them? Look at the prayer. He said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, here's the first thing, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, if you write in your Bible, I want you just to take your pencil or pen and underline that three-letter word, thy. See, He said, it's not about my need. You already know what my need is. My main concern is thy name. I want your name to be hallowed. Is that what He said? That's the very first thing. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. He said, all right, I'm going to teach you to pray. He said, I want you to pray after this manner. I want you to get concerned about the God you serve, who He is, His name, and how you're to represent it. And I want you to represent it in such a way that it would hallow it. It would set it apart, that people would know your God is different. Your God is God. Amen. Hallowed be thy name. And then He said what? Thy, underline that three-letter word again. Kingdom come. When's the last time you prayed that? God rebuked me this week. When's the last time you prayed, Lord, I can't wait for You to bring Your kingdom to this earth. Some of us got it so good in this earth, we're not even looking for the world to come. We're not even praying for it. And when the disciples said, Lord, would You teach us to pray? He said, yeah. He said, I've been watching. I know what's in your heart. Now, I don't know what's in your heart, but Jesus does.
Amen.
And He said, I've been watching. I've been listening. I know what's in there. And He said, you need to be praying more about God's kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Right? What kind of interest do you have in God's kingdom? What do you know about it? Where do you fit into that program? The kingdom program, brethren. The kingdom program. It's real. It's in the Bible. God, listen, Jesus is going to set up His kingdom on this earth one day. And He said, you pray thy kingdom come. right? So number one, that first petition, are you there yet? Is your number one concern about God's name? Hallowed be thy name. Not my name. Not my family's name. Not my church's name. Now, there's nothing wrong with any of those things, right? But our number one ought to be his name. Number two, his kingdom. Number three, there's only six petitions that he said, I want you to build your prayer lives around these things right here. Six things. He said, I want you to pray after this manner. I want you to pray about God's name being hallowed. I want you to pray about God's kingdom coming. Then he said, I want you to pray about God's will being done. Thy will. Underline that three-letter word again. There it is. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I could preach 2 weeks. Now, don't get nervous. I'm not going to today. But I could preach 2 weeks on just that one little phrase. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. What would earth be if God's will was being done like it is being done in heaven? Wow. See, we ought to desire that. Many times we go rushing into God's presence, and listen, I know there's times that we have to pray like Peter, Lord, save me. I get that, okay? Listen, I didn't start this thing yesterday. I understand that there's just times. But when the general understanding, the overall understanding, when the disciples said, listen, we want a prayer life. We want to commune with God. We want to get God's will for our life. We want to understand some things about God. We want to be in communion with God. We want to have that closeness with Him. I want to know more about Him. And when I pray, I can know more about Him. How should I pray to know more about God? He said, well, then when you pray that His name would be hallowed. You pray that His kingdom would come, and you pray that His will would be done. Not your will now. His will. Is that right?
Amen.
Now, we're ready to change, and this is the backside. So you got to make prayer about Him first. And this is where we come in. You see verse 11? There's a change. It goes from authority to dependency. All right? It goes from authority, thy name, thy kingdom, thy will, to dependency. Give, forgive, lead. God, we need you to do some things for us. And when you understand who you're praying to, you can pray with great confidence that way. Give us this day our daily bread. What a petition. And yet we live in a land so abundant, so plentiful, that it's rare that somebody would pray and ask God for food. We just pray and thank Him for the food we have. Now, that's not bad. Thank God for that you thank God for your food. But I just wonder if we even pray and ask God for food anymore. It wouldn't take but about a week without it we'd begin to pray. God shut our farmers down and our food supply down. I'm going to tell you right now, we'd get to praying for food real quick. Now, I'm not saying I desire that. Don't misunderstand the preacher this morning. I'm just saying it wouldn't take much for us to understand really how dependent of God we are. Is that right, church?
Amen.
Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us. Verse 12, you there? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Right? Forgive our sins, Lord. Lord, I've sinned, and I need you to forgive me. And I'm going to forgive those that have sinned against me. Is that what he's saying? That's what he's saying. So I'm not. Well, you're not going to get your prayers answered. You're just not. And then he said, lead us. See verse 13? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. See, this is dependency. God, we need you to do some things in our lives. And because you are who you are, because your name is hallowed, because your kingdom is coming, because your will is to be done, then God, we trust you. We depend upon you to meet our need. See, God's concerned about all of me, not just some of me. Right? What does daily bread do? What part of our being does that meat. Physical. Give us this day our daily bread. That's our physical need. We have physical needs. You have physical needs? Oh, come on. You have physical needs? Yeah, we all do. There's nothing wrong with asking God to meet our physical needs. What about emotional and mental needs? You know what unconfessed sin does? It'll break you down emotionally. You'll be an emotional wreck. The guilt and the shame of unconfessed, unforgiven sin, which is in verse number 12. Look at it. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. The guilt and shame will break you down, break me down emotionally and mentally. No wonder we have so many praying for mental health needs. So God is concerned about my physical need. And I am to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And God is concerned about our emotional makeup and our emotional needs and our mental needs. And so we are to pray, God, forgive us as we forgive others. But he's also concerned about our spiritual needs. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I hope you see that. That's the message that God laid on my heart this morning. There's a lot more there. What is Jesus trying to teach us here? The disciples came and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us. He said, okay, I will. I'm going to teach you to pray. He said, after this manner, let me give you a model. Now, he didn't say pray this prayer. He said, pray with these things in mind. Be concerned about how you represent your God as your Father. Thy name be hallowed. Be concerned about God's program, his kingdom. Get concerned about that. Be concerned about God's will over your will or the will of others who are trying to impress on you their will. And then begin to depend on him and realize that by the good hand of God, every good and every perfect gift cometh down from above. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. And he said, if you live your life this way and pray this way, you'll see a difference in your life. It'll bring you in communion with the God of heaven. Could I ask you to stand and